indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, it's June 27th.
Yep.
And this is the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment. We'll begin, first of all, with attendance. And Amy, please let your note that Boyd is not here tonight and that Tony is Zooming into the meeting and the other members of the case of the board are present. This is a continuation of a request for a rehearing by Mr. Carr on behalf of his wife, Claudia Carr. Mr. Carr is objecting to some of the conditions that were placed in the notice of decision, and specifically Mr. Carr stated that there was never any mention of no commercial. I'd like to play the tape, a part of that tape from that night.
I think you just continue your discussion.
We're continuing, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're not continuing the hearing, you're continuing the executive discussion.
Yes, yes.
All right. So we'll just suspend the motion for now, continue this case until the next.
We'll continue, not the case, you continue your discussion. And then you don't have to give any notice, and you have a certain amount of time in which to render a decision. You don't have to render a decision tonight.
No, we have 30 days.
You got 30 days. Yeah. I see you got 60. You got
and our next meeting is, I think, on the 23rd or 24th.
All right, so don't draft something up. Send it through us. We'll get to Pal Dallas.
I'll send it to you guys. You guys look at it.
Sign off on it.
That's the 23rd. So we'll meet the
30 days. Yeah, and if you say, well, this isn't what we agreed to, then you can send it back to me.
Okay.
We'll revise it. But, you know,
okay,
I think
that's good.
No residential, no commercial. And just
I agree. Now, this is a little too broad here. No further development. What does that mean? A bog house out there?
That's what I was afraid of.
So, no subdivision. We're not going to re-subdivide it. We're not going to use it for residential. We're not going to use it for commercial. But we will use it for personal. It has accessory dwellings, accessory buildings to the dwellings that are there.
So, I move we continue this.
Each one will have an accessory dwelling.
We can continue this case until our next meeting.
Okay, thank you so much for your consideration and your patience.
So, several times the attorney states no subdivision, no commercial use. Also, Mr. Carr, in the pleading, said that they weren't noted, that there was some question about whether we noticed that we were continuing the hearing, and you could hear Boyd clearly say that we were continuing, not the hearing, we were continuing our meeting because it was during the discussion. So Mr. Carr stated we did not talk about commercial. This area is zoned residential. If he wanted to do anything commercial there, he would need to come before our board to get a variance to do it. And if you read the notice of decision, the notice of decision states that he can come back if he wants to make any changes to the conditions. He has to come back before our board. So he got exactly what he wanted. He had three legal ways to put houses on that property without a variance. He didn't want to do that. He wanted all the houses up front, claimed that he had a wetlands crossing, he couldn't get across it, it would be expensive to cross it, but when he was talking about the barn, they stated that they could, we can get trucks across that, it's just like damp, it's not really a wetland. So we either rehear it or we don't rehear it. So this is the decision tonight. Do we rehear him? Very clearly, his attorney said no commercial, no further subdivision, no commercial, which is what it said. And quite honestly, we never talked about the other things that he added to that, which were solar and biomass. I mean, can you imagine a biomass plant there? Them trucking in, big trucks coming and trucking and stuff that they're going to be burning there, if they're going to have a biomass plant there? That's what he said, if he's allowed to do commercial there. That's what he said that he wanted to be able to do. He can certainly, if he wants to put solar panels on his barn roof, he was well within the law to do it, or do a heat sink if he wants to do geothermal, or even if he wanted to burn whatever he wanted to burn to heat that building, as long as it's done for his own personal thing. And several times during the meeting, he said, I want to keep it like it is. I want to use it for my personal use. So I don't understand where this disconnect. He got everything he wanted. He got an accessory use without a main dwelling. He got 6 units on 1 parcel of land, 3 buildings without subdividing it, which is exactly what he wanted. So I guess we have to decide, you know, if we need to, do we want to rehear this and go over it? I know, Mark, you talked about binding other, one of the questions you had was you wanted to, didn't want to bind another board. And all we're saying is this is what we gave you. This is all we gave you. And if you want to do anything else, you have to come back before the board to get permission to do it. Mm-hmm. So we're not binding anybody. We're only giving him exactly what he asked for.
It sounds like you're rehearing the original meeting, whereas this meeting is to decide whether the board made a mistake, and that should be the singular issue in front of the board.
Well, the issue actually before the board is, do we grant him a rehearing? And by granting him a rehearing, we grant him a rehearing because he said we made 2 mistakes. He said they didn't know that we continued the meeting. And they didn't know that there was going to be no commercial. But you clearly heard his attorney say, no further subdivision, no commercial. And he was sitting right there.
Okay, so go back to the rehearing.
So the vote tonight is, do we grant a rehearing or don't we? So we either have a motion to grant a rehearing and it fails or it passes. But that's the motion is... And you grant the rehearing because you realize, well, we've made some error. But we haven't made the errors that he stated that he's claiming.
But how was he aware of being at this last meeting? That would be my only question.
How was he aware of what?
That his attendance was necessary. Did we make that clear at some point?
Meet at the... They knew that the meeting was continued. Yes.
But did they know that the meeting that they needed to be here, or that this was just a meeting amongst ourselves and not open to the public?
No, it said we would discuss the things at the meeting, and they received copies of all of the paperwork. They received copies of our notice of decision, and they never, of all the stipulations, I'm sorry, that we had, though, just those words that he wrote up, that mm-hmm. paperwork, and we just added the words non-commercial because that's what we said. You can do whatever you want. You said you want this for your own personal use.
Right.
And he knew that the meeting was
continued. I have no problem with that. My only problem is the noticing, and
I believe Amy was in contact with them.
That's my question for Amy was, what contact was there?
I emailed Bob, his attorney, and the engineer.
Okay, then I have no issues.
And they all received copies of the covenants that we were going to discuss at the meeting.
Okay.
So... Tony, do you have any questions?
I'm not tuned in. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes. Can't see you, but we can hear you.
I'm messed up, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I have no questions, Judith. Thank you.
Okay. So if there's no questions, then Mark, do you have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so we need a motion that will either pass or fail. So does somebody want to make a motion? The motion is to either grant a rehearing or not grant a rehearing.
I move that we don't grant a rehearing based on the information you've just provided us.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Any discussion? Mark, any questions?
No.
Okay. Ron, do you want to vote?
Aye.
Mark? Nay.
Tony?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the motion passes, the request for rehearing, it fails. Okay, thank you. So the next thing on our agenda is we've got three sets of minutes to review, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the minutes. There's three different sets in there. And if you want to, we can leave them for you. We can have you read them, and we can go through them the next meeting if you want to do that, if you want to take them home.
I would recommend that we look at these minutes at the next meeting if that's acceptable to other members of the board.
I have no problem with
fine
that.
Fine by me, you know.
Okay, so we'll pass that. We'll do that at the next time. If you recall, the next thing on our agenda is we were going to adjust our fee scale, our fee schedule, and mm-hmm. that we have to, remember, we have to talk about it twice, so this would be the second time. So we've got a, I believe, Amy, you, how much did we increase it, Amy? Is it?
Actual cost plus a dollar.
Was it $2? I thought we already did that part. I thought
we have to do it
one more time.
And make it official.
Okay, so this would be official. So it's actual cost plus $2. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, if you recall, also.
So, do we need to vote on that?
Probably would be a good idea.
Okay.
All right. So. Do you want to make a motion, Ron?
I move that we increase the fees to cost plus $2.
Okay, a second?
I'll second that.
All right, any discussion, Tony?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. Ron, any discussion?
No, none.
All right, then we'll have a vote. Ron?
Aye.
Mark Romakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Okay, thank you, Tony. The other thing that we talked about was, if you recall, we had no procedure for someone who applied for an extension of a variance, because in all the years I've been on the board, we've never had anyone who didn't use their variance.
Yeah.
And this was the rock, slate, and gravel. So Amy came up with a proposed new page for our book, which lists the application for the variance.
Extremely rough.
For the extension of the variance. And so this is another one of those things that we have to look at twice. So this would be the first time, and then we would look at it a second time, and then it would become part of our manual.
Yeah, I guess my only question would be, do we want something on there that states why you want to renew the variance?
Yeah, that's
well,
really good.
Let me ask you a question. If someone, it comes before the board anyway.
Yes.
So we would have, that discussion would be held in public.
Maybe just a few lines, like brief discussion of the reasons, because The thing that it's all depends on what you consider to the phrase good cause means. And if you recall, when we had Slate Rock and Gravel came in, and they started to talk about all the environmental concerns and how long with COVID and everything, you could clearly see why they could not get working, and that was very definitely just cause.
Yeah.
And it does state in here So,
I don't think there's a problem to add a statement that says,
yeah.
Reason for request,
reason
for extension request. That's easy to add.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, what's the story with a building permit? You can request an extension, but only one? Am I correct?
I believe
no.
so. Oh, no. No, you just have, you have to keep, but I think there's a limit, isn't there?
I don't know.
I thought there was, but there might not be.
We have people that have extended them quite some time, many times. It's half the cost of the original.
Yeah. Okay. And the risk for the person who's asking for the extension is if the zoning or if the building codes change,
they're locked in.
They'd have to, when they ask for that next one, don't they, is that why they do it in order to maintain the old building standards? Or would they be, or if they get multiple extensions, do they have to do the new
Good
building
question.
Standards?
Would you mind re-asking that question to the expert?
Right away. So in the case of someone in the town asking for an extension of a building permit that they didn't act on in the one-year period, if they get an extension, apparently there's half the fee to get another extension. Do the old building codes apply continually? Or if the town adopts one of the new building code, electrical, plumbing, what have you, would the new rules apply at the time of that extension of the building permit?
As far as I know, it all codes go with the date of the original permit.
Okay. Is that an automatic approval?
Pretty much.
Pretty much? So that's a way for someone to maintain the old code if they continue to reapply. There's no limit on how many years they could continue to do that?
We actually had a situation today where somebody had a permit from 2001. And they're still continuing it.
Okay.
He's doing it on his own. But I talked to Andrea today. We're going to come up with, we'll probably talk with the selectman about coming up with a shutoff date of maybe one extension.
Yeah. That makes some sense.
Right.
Not have, because things have changed since 2001, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and especially since, when you're talking about the old building codes apply, the new building codes are obvious, I would assume.
Some more stringent.
Which the changes are for the safety of the occupants in the community, so that you would want the applicant to do everything as up to the current codes.
Well, you might, but
yeah.
From what he's saying.
But if you're
not
required to. Okay.
So I think the building department is obviously
recognizes
the weakness and they're
going
to work on it.
But,
right. Mark, I like your suggestion that we add a little, because it says.
I was reaffirming
what
someone else brought.
Identify
up, so.
With the land use board and the decision, so
and
just reasons for that. That's a good plan. Anything else about anything else about this particular?
No, pretty much.
No, I think it's
okay.
Fine.
All right. So, do we have any comments? Any public comments or anything? No. Okay. So we have one more thing, and Mark, you're the only one who hasn't met. This is Bill Kina, and I don't.
I read
know
the letter today.
And do you remember that it was about? Well, it was probably like March or April of last year when they came in. They were up in the new development off High Street where he wanted to put in an apartment for his sister who has multiple sclerosis.
I read the letter, and I didn't look up the case, to be honest with you, but the scenario sounded very familiar to me. But that's all I recall. I know that obviously this town allows, I don't want to use the word accessory dwelling units, ADUs, and occasionally people do come before the board for variance on that, and we do what we do. We review the case and we make those decisions on a per case basis. So apparently someone was pleased with our work.
Well, the other thing I think that, especially with something with the Americans with Disabilities Act, that we're basically required to give them the amount of space that they needed to make. If you recall, Lisa had printed out sheets with us that showed the turning radius for the wheelchair in right. the bathrooms and in the living room and everything.
Yeah.
So,
is that something we should maybe get in writing? In terms of, I mean, we have a size limit, but indicate that, you know.
Well, I think it's a case by case. That's the first time in all the years I've been on that we've had it.
I'm pretty sure that the building, the code enforcement official at that time worked through it, and some of the sizes were required based on. You know, building code for those kind of for that kind of building. So, and I think that was made clear at the meeting. So, whether we need rules, I think the building department handles that.
Ron, that's the only time I can remember it. All the years I've been on board.
I agree, but you know, I think we can see the potential of this happening again.
But all the rules are there. If someone comes in and they state that it's an ADA case, then it automatically. Goes to the federal law. It automatically reverts to whatever the federal regulations are for ADA at that time. So I'm not sure that anything that we write would be relevant to what the federal government requires.
Okay, then I guess I'm not really stating myself correctly here. 600 square feet is... an apartment, right?
Oh no, it's
750.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we have say, you know, because of the additional handicapped access for an ADA compliant apartment, should it be 850 or 900 feet as a minimum? Or maximum.
I don't think you can say that because it depends on the layout of the apartment, the way
the way that
the wheelchair has to move around you don't know what kind of accommodations they need in the bathroom. Some people might just need a walk-in shower, someone else might need something that has a lift or other accommodations that they might need. So I think it's case dependent. So all those rules are covered by the ADA.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the ADA stuff. I just trying to cover us so that we don't get into a hassle with somebody saying, "Well, you know, I need an extra 50 square feet." Well, if you can show legitimately that you do to meet ADA standards, that's I don't know.
I guess that's handled on a case by case basis rather than what do you think, Bob?
A lot of it would depend on the ADA usage, the person's handicap disabilities. But a lot of it also would depend on the layout of the building.
Mm. Yeah,
you can lay out the building so it's ADA compliant without having to make extensions.
Right.
Yeah, I personally see it as a building department's purview to determine that the application meets the ADA rules, and you know, if you use all the space for the ADA accommodations and there's, you know, 27 square feet left over for the living room, then obviously something has to change. So I think the process worked well the last time. I think the building department would obviously be involved in it because they would have obviously said no on the building on the permit to begin with because it was over. Then there had to be the whole review and the planning.
I think
Congress worked for years to try to come up with something in writing. I don't know if I want to tackle it as a board to try to come up with rules. I just want to follow along with the ADA and let the building department say this is you know, we need this space for these accommodations, and then, you know, if it'll all fit in 1,000 square feet, fine. But if someone's looking for 4,000 square feet, well, the board would obviously say, no, that's not really appropriate. Right. So I think a case by case is really where we want to be.
Yeah, and then you can tell, as you say, Bob's gonna look at the, at their drawings.
Yeah.
And so. But anyway, back to Bill. Bill, do you want to tell us about yourself and a little thing about what you want to do here, and then we'll have to discuss the process of recommending, sending a letter of recommendation to the Board of Selectmen to appoint you to a position on the board.
Sure. Is that the procedure?
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Sid, come join us.
See how it fits, huh? We came to this town, my son and daughter-in-law and their family live right up the road here off of Jane, and we came to the town a few times to visit, and when we decided to move up here, we looked around, we really liked Candia, and then when it came to having that one issue and asking for a variance, the way you guys handled it was very good. I thought it was very considered. You thought about it, you understood the case, and, you know, you made a kind and correct, in my view, of course, decision. So I appreciate that. Boyd called me the next day after. He said, that was a really nice presentation you did. You should think about helping us. You know, and I said, oh, God, we're in the middle of building this house and moving, yeah. But I promise I'll remember, you know, let me get settled. Okay. So, you know, we're a little more settled now. I'm certainly busy. I work full-time. I'm the market president for AmeriHealth Caritas, which is a Medicaid insurance company here in the state. So we have one of the Medicaid contracts with DHHS. That's my full-time job. But I really like this town. My son's over attending Scouts right now. Tuesday nights is a good night for me because I bring him here anyways. And when I saw the notice for, you know, requiring help with planning board and zoning board, I said, if I can help, I'm happy to help. You know, in terms of zoning experience, I have none. So let me be honest. That's a mighty thick book you got there. But, you know, I've run businesses for 40 years now of one sort and another. You know, I've managed budgets. My current business is a $220 million business that I'm responsible for here in the state. So I understand contracts. I understand decisions, problem solving, that kind of thing. And I don't have a big dog in the hunt in terms of, I have no set opinion about anything in terms of, I'll give you an example. This development, the senior development around our corner there, I know that stirred a lot of controversy. On the one hand, here's how I think of it. On the one hand, we need homes for seniors. That's not a bad thing. You know. On the other hand, does that make this corner too crowded and will there be a traffic? I don't know. And here's what I think. If I really wanted to know, I'd come and learn about it, and then I'd make a decision and have an opinion. My official opinion is I'm generally for growth, unless there's good reasons not to have growth, right? So I don't take a position on that because I don't know enough about it, but it doesn't bother me because I know enough about you guys to feel like you probably have looked into it and made a good decision, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, we didn't have anything. It was the planning board, gave the waivers that,
but
that's a whole other thing.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't come in with any... I think I probably, if I were you guys, that's a pretty good guy to have because he's not coming in with a set of, you know, predispositions on things. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to listen.
Yeah.
And my only goal would be to help. You know, that's it.
You'll find it's a good way to get a feel for what's going on in town.
I thought that would be good.
A way to give back a little bit.
Exactly. And that's it. I'm like, I believe in helping the community. I believe in serving charity. I've just been asked to serve on the board of the Granite United Way. I'm already serve on the National Council for the March of Dimes, which is a charity I've supported for a lot of years. And, you know, I'm hoping in 4 or 5 years I can retire, and then I figure I'll have more time to do this sort of thing, right? But
Well, we meet once a month when we have a case or cases. Sometimes we just have one case. Occasionally we have two or three, but not often. And We meet on the fourth Tuesday of the month.
Which is a good night for me.
And
based on scouts.
There are months when we don't, we have no cases and we don't meet. So as I explained to you before, once you're appointed, we have, the boards can choose either to have their alternate sit with them or to sit in the audience. We choose to have our alternate sit with us and participate in the discussions because it helps you learn what the process is. And, you know, Mark was an alternate for a couple of years before he was on the board, and you've been through that, Mark, and probably found it was helpful. The other thing
it
is there,
helpful too.
There
I
is
mean, I, observe and participate.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, right?
Yeah.
But Amy, this thing on the from the state, which explains the first four chapters, basically explain the board and how it works and what the five standards for making a decision are and how they explain cases that help you to decide what that standard means.
Okay.
And also there, as I was telling before, they do have training and a lot of it is virtual now. And this last one, we got a tape of I had four sessions I went to, but I got a tape of every one of the sessions so I could listen to anything. So it goes anything from the way the board is structured to how to run a meeting to different difficult questions that the board is asked to decide. So this is so you'll read that, and it takes a little while, but and I'll give you my phone number if you have questions that you could call me if you have questions or anything. But our board will decide, after we're finished talking to you, we'll decide whether or not we'll send a letter to the Board of Selectmen asking that you be appointed as an alternate. And usually our meetings are over before 8 o'clock, so it's
perfect.
Just a short. I mean, there have been times when we've
not
gone.
Not always.
Yes, there have been. We did have one meeting where people were standing outside and waving through the window to be heard. So that does very occasionally happen. Yeah. But I don't know if you have any other questions for our board or.
No, I mean I'm here to help if I can help. I'm okay.
Okay. All
right. You know, I like the way we do things in New Hampshire. I like that the community gets more involved. I like there's less government. That's
well. This
fine.
Is. I've always said that this is the truest form of democracy.
Right.
I mean, the town when we had town meetings, that was democracy at its truest form because.
Yeah.
One vote could make it, you know, you realize your vote makes a difference when something
showed up,
passes
right.
or fails by one vote. So
so I like it. I like it from what I've seen. I'm sure there's tempers at times.
Well, we've always.
We're pretty good.
We're.
I wasn't talking about you guys.
Yeah, but you know what?
Well, some of both, but then there's times that we don't always agree.
But the thing is, I've in all the years I've been on the board, I know that there have been times when we've disagreed, but we've never had anyone be disagreeable.
Well, that's good.
And I think that's the difference. You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yeah,
and you might you might walk out of the meeting and not like what happened, and you come and it's over. And you realize, okay, it's my point of view wasn't the point of view that everybody else was seeing, so the next time things work out.
You know, I kind of always go back to the fact that we're an appointed board with a quasi-legal function, but we're not lawyers.
Right.
And nobody expects that we are. And, you know, we do the best we can to be fair and follow the rules. You know, sometimes we make a mistake, and not intentionally, but we do. That's why all the safeguards are in there, and that's.
And there have been times that we have, had rehearings and made changes and talked about things, made things different. So,
but you know, I mean, you have to accept the fact that we are not lawyers, and
that's a positive to me, by the way.
Well, yeah.
You say that, you know, your corporate counsel just rolled his eyes.
Sometimes I hate making decisions, all right, not knowing the legal ramifications and whether. And think that, like with this last case, that we really needed to put this thing off and get some legal opinions before we finally made our decisions.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything else that you want to say. But Tony, did you have any questions that you wanted to ask Bill?
No, I remember the case, and I remember making the comment that his son will probably never leave, but that's about, and I remember does it have an elevator?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
No, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and to your earlier point.
We know the help we can get.
Great. The elevator is for access, and then we had to have room to get the wheelchair out and turn around. Uh-huh. You wouldn't always need an elevator if it was on the first floor. So that was, you need a few more feet for that. Just as an example, I was thinking about that as you were talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, but
But
that was the building. The space was on the second floor.
Yeah, sure.
So we need an elevator. We were like, oh, how are we get, you know, sounded crazy. I'm like, I'm buying an elevator. You got to be kidding me, right? I never thought I'd have a house with an elevator, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's like Bob said that, you know, it's the design of the house.
Right.
Basically,
that's how.
Basically determines what you're going
to
need.
That's
for
how we had
stuff.
To do it. And then we needed space off the elevator. So that gave a few more feet because of that.
Okay. All right, so is there anything else you'd like the board to know? All right, then I'll entertain.
If I say anything more, it'll only hurt. So I better get out of here.
You're in good company.
All right, thank
so
you.
So I will take a motion for.
I motion that we formulate a letter to be sent to the Board of Selectmen to recommend candidate for the alternate position.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion?
Nope.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
All right. So we will. The Board of Selectmen met last night, so they won't meet for 2 weeks. So we're talking July 10th, I think. Yeah. July 10th, they'll meet. July 10th. And so then they'll make the appointment. They'll let you know you have to come in and see the town clerk, be sworn in.
You need a letter from him, right?
We have the letter.
You got a letter already?
We have a letter.
Oh,
so we'll send a copy of your letter plus our letter recommending that you be appointed. So that would happen at the July 10th meeting. And then our next meeting, if we have one in July, would be the 25th.
Yep. Okay, great.
Great.
So.
Very good. Thank you. Right.
Well, we thank you.
It's good seeing you.
Some
and
good turn.
Tell you.
Yeah. Come back, right?
Tell your wife we said hello.
I will do that.
I just remember the tears in her eyes when we
meant so much to us.
When
really
we granted her that variance.
Yeah, thank you.
So is there any other business, Amy? Is there anything that we missed? Any other business to come before the board?
No.
So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon, aye.
Let the minute show that the meeting was adjourned at 7:40.